is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game, online at thegamenashville.com. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. I'm Jared Stillman, live today at Fitness 1440, where once again they are celebrating their one-year anniversary. If you're someone that needs to get in shape, and trust me, there are a lot of us that need that, come on to Fitness 1440. It's more than a gym. First of all, it's like two stories, and they got a cardio room with a movie theater in it, and they've got all kinds of high-end equipment. They've got a sauna. They've got an indoor pool. They've got a basketball court, an indoor basketball court. They've got free kids care, and new members today, sign up, $14.40. Once again, if you sign up today, it is $14.40 total. You walk in with $14.40, and you walk out with a membership. Pete Weber of the Predators is a member here as well. Floyd, it is 5 o'clock on a Monday, and I guess this has become our thing, that now, since you are the GM, in a country where no one can agree on anything, we can all agree that you are the only expert on football and the Titans in the afternoons in this town. And so with that, it's time for the three things you did like and the three things you didn't like, and we fancied it up with our fancy little numbers. So let's start with what you did like, and let's start with number one.
Number one.
Wow. Impressive. I like the big plays. We had three big plays. We have been, as most teams that are struggling to win, we've been absent of those recently. When you go into a game like this and you get one from a receiver, one from, in essence, a fullback, and then one from a running back, that's pretty nice. So I was really impressed. And really, this is another topic for another day, but, you know, our red zone, all the red zone stuff we were bragging about, we haven't been very good now. Mm-mm. But these big plays make up for it.
And, you know, in years past, you know, Kendall Wright wasn't going to get you a big play. Bishop Sankey was not getting you big plays. Those right. guys were not getting the big plays, and that goes to show you. Taywan Taylor is a guy who can get you a big play.
Yep.
Dory Jackson can get you a big play. The new players can get you big plays. That takes us to number two.
Number two.
I really liked the effort, conditioning, and focus. All things that are kind of obscure, but I thought the effort was outstanding. I thought everybody was ready to go. I thought that the conditioning was obviously far superior to theirs. Now, they come from a different environment, and I understand all that. And I'm sure they weren't expecting to get hit in the mouth repeatedly over a period of three or four quarters. But I thought we really took it to them. Great effort downfield, and the focus was just outstanding. I mean, we refused to be deterred. I mean, we were going to impose our will at some point in time.
That takes us to number three.
Number three.
I've really got a bunch of these that I liked. I will go with let's go with Marcus. I thought Marcus really played well. I thought he was in control. I thought he handled the hit on the sidelines as well as you could handle it. That is, by jumping up, you know, not letting him know that he hurt you at all, getting back to the huddle or trying to get back there and let everybody else, the big meanies, get in there and take care of you know, all the grunting and groaning and yelling, and if there was going to be punching. So I was really proud of him. I agree with you said a little bit earlier, you thought he showed a little maturity, a little bit more maturity, and I would agree. I think he did. So, you know, nice continuing maturation of a young quarterback.
You know what I think of when I see Marcus, the way he played yesterday? I'm watching that game, and it really hit me on the Jonnu Smith touchdown. But I'm thinking, Floyd, our little Marcus is growing up. He's growing up. He's good. I mean, honestly, last year with Marcus, there were times where, you know, Marcus would do some great things, but then he'd do some just flat-out stupid things where you're like, Marcus, what are you doing? And through 3 weeks, he's got one interception. And that one interception, you basically blamed on the tight end and not on Marcus. So now I'm sitting here saying he's averaging 5 interceptions for the season, for the year. Now, that's not going to happen. He's going to throw more than 5 picks, but he's not turning the ball over. And the reason that you're in these games is because you're not turning it over. Your running backs are as sure-handed as they come, and your quarterback's not throwing picks. That you're automatically going to be in almost every game if that trend continues.
Well, if you look back at last year, there was, you know, we would go into a game like this, and there would be, you know, probably 3, maybe even 4 or 5, but say 3 passes that when he threw them, you just held your breath, just couldn't. Why would you throw that? What were you doing? Then the first part of the first couple of games this year, there were one a game. You say, well, what are you doing? And then you hit this game and they're 0. So maybe that's a good indication of things to come.
Our little baby's growing up, Floyd. Okay, 3 things you did not like. Although it must be hard to come up with 3 things you didn't like in a game like this for the Titans, but start us off with number one.
Tackling. Once again, have not liked the tackling.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought they tackled fine except for Wilson.
I didn't think they continue to not wrap up. They continue to not get in the best shape. I worry about it more in open field and with the secondary, because if those guys miss a tackle, it may be a touchdown. And I think we missed too many of those. I think the same on special teams. I didn't like the way we tackle. So it's something that we'll continue to work on, and I think we will get better at.
Well, it's kind of like the touchdown throw from Russell Wilson to Chris Carson, where Williamson was there, but he kind of had a bad angle on it, and he couldn't bring him down because he wasn't fast enough, and Carson runs into the end zone for a touchdown. They need to stop those type of plays.
Yeah.
Number two.
Special teams penalties. Does it ring a bell? I mean, I used to tell players this when I coached special teams. You have to understand the officials have nothing more to do on a punt or a kickoff. Nothing more to do except for look for clips and look for holding. That's all. There are offsides, things like that they don't worry about. So if you get close to where you're going to hit somebody in the back, you got to pull up. I mean, we've already cost this kid 2 touchdowns. He's had 2 call back. I mean, there are people who go an entire career and never get 1. And he's had 2 call back. So really, really unfair. Something that has got to be corrected.
And if you had lost that football game, I would have put the block on Fluellen, the block in the back on Fluellen. I would have put that as the chief reason why. Because at 13-0, with the way the Seahawks offense couldn't even get a first down, you were in command of that football game, and to take that touchdown off the board is crippling.
Well, I just about went berserk when they first called it on
Ty Smith.
On Smith. And then they showed the replay of Smith. I mean, it was beautiful what he did. It was fantastic. Got in the way, screened the guy, didn't hit him in the back in any way, shape, or form. And when I saw that, and I thought that was the penalty, and I thought that cost. I mean, I went wild. I
said, well, that was Charles Davis who screwed it up.
Got to be kidding me. Yeah, then showing later, they showed Fluellen and what he did, and that was not very smart.
What's funny was I was at the game. So I'm at the game, and I see Fluellen block the guy in the back. And I don't know why, but I can pick up penalty. I'm actually, you know how like an analyst will say, well, they're going to get number 63 for holding right there. I've really gotten good at that. Like of being able to see a play and going, they're going to call a block in the back here, and then immediately you see the yellow flag come out. And so I see Fluellen place that block, and I see the flag, and I go, God darn it.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there because I saw the legal block. So I tweeted out, you didn't even need it. You didn't need the illegal block. Well, my Twitter blows up with everybody saying it was a bad call. It didn't happen. It was a bad call. And I don't have the replay because I'm at the game. I'm not in the stadium. So I'm getting all these people that are tweeting me, and I come home and watch it, and I'm like, well, I saw Fluellen. I didn't see Ty Smith. And then when I heard the call was on Fluellen, I go, he called it on the guy that did it, not because it was Charles Davis who said they really meant 33, not 32. No, Charles, they meant 32 because 32 did it. So that was the kind of one there. Now, number 3 on things you didn't like.
Number 3.
And I really had to stretch here. I mean, to be honest, those two things were my first two. I would say the refs. I did not like the way they called the game. I thought they were very, I'm trying to think of the good word here.
Bad?
They were a coward. They were cowards.
They
were afraid to kick Sherman out. They didn't want to go through all the ruckus and all the, he should have been kicked out. Maybe just because of the hit, but beyond the hit, after he starts yelling at the official, helmet off, all this stuff, you're out of here. Got to go.
I mean, in baseball, they'd have kicked that guy out 10 times.
He'd have been kicked out in any other sport, any other.
He'd been kicked out in basketball?
Yeah, he'd have been teed up a dozen times.
And in basketball, that's like seven shots in the basketball back.
That's right.
That's game-changing.
So I thought they were really weak and incompetent. So,
wow.
Yes.
Very strong from the GM, who never criticizes officials or play calling, but the GM really getting on the officials, calling them cowards.
Did not like it.
We'll take your calls on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Everything on the table with the Titans. If you have a Titans thought, 615-737-1025. We are live out at Fitness 1440 today, celebrating their one-year anniversary. Where a lot of people are celebrating their one-year anniversary by getting a sweat in today is we got the gym right now, people on the treadmills, people working out on their – I actually did the incline skating machine today. I've never seen that. They have those here. Pretty tough. We're out here, Fitness 1440. Come on out and join us and celebrate today. Once again, Fitness 1440 is it's a formerly a YMCA, and it's right off Harding at 411 Metroplex Drive. Come on out. Jared and the GM, ESPN 1025 the game.
They have a fullback, Jonnu Smith, who's their tight end in the game, as a fullback. They're going to fake the run. Mariano's going to throw it in. He's got a man at Smith. Touchdown! He had one last week. He's got one this week. Jonnu Smith from 24.
What a beautiful play.
Love that play.
I'm sitting there, and I'm watching the play. And I see Taywan Taylor run, and I'm thinking to myself, well, they're either going to hand it off to Murray or they're going to give it to Taywan Taylor. And then all of a sudden I see Marcus has the football, and I'm like, he's still got the ball. And Marcus steps up and throws it, and then I turn my head to where Jonnu Smith is, and I just, touchdown. And there he was for a beautiful touchdown. Jonnu Smith is great when you do all the work for him to get wide open near the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, you just, I mean, the little bit I've seen, you just don't want to make him.
Think.
Make a decision.
Yeah.
You just go there.
Just do your thing.
Okay.
Right. Decker's kind of the same way. Like, if Decker stops and you throw him the ball, Decker will catch it. But if you ask Decker to run to the football, he's not going to be able to get there.
Although that catch on the out, I mean, that was a pretty catch.
The third and 15?
Yes.
Yes, that was a beautiful throw and a beautiful catch.
Beautiful throw, beautiful catch.
Richard Sherman wanted a flag on
that. Got it down. Yes, he did.
As I saw the interception that Marcus threw that got called back on the three penalties by Richard Sherman, as I saw the ball in the air, I saw Sherman tackle him, and I'm like, surely they're going to throw the flag. And then out came the flags. And so even when Cam Chancellor intercepted the ball, I didn't even think about it because I knew it was coming back. But my goodness, Richard Sherman, there should be no one that ever complains for calls if they're Richard Sherman.
I mean, just think about that play. Think how that would have turned things around.
If Chancellor intercepts the ball?
Oh, yeah. Intercept that ball right there that early.
Well, but I don't think he would have intercepted the pass only because he only intercepted the pass because there was no one there because Sherman tackled Decker.
Right, but I'm just saying if he would have intercepted the pass, if anybody on that defense would have intercepted the pass that early at that point in the game.
Totally would change the game.
Ooh.
Glenn is up next. 615-737-1025 is the number. We're live out at Fitness 1440 today. Glenn, what's up?
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
And really enjoyed the game yesterday. And then realized that after the game was over that nobody for the Titans came out for the national anthem, and that infuriated me. And I don't know that I can reconcile rooting for them anymore. Because
why?
I respect the country. But because it makes me sick. I mean,
why? Why
the entire
make you
team?
Sick?
Okay, if the entire team came out and certain people kneeled, that's fine. But for the entire organization to say, hey, we don't respect the flag, we don't respect the national anthem, makes me sick. And
do you
I
know,
guarantee you, I'm not the only one who feels this way.
Right. I understand that. But you do know that in high school and college, they aren't on the field for the national anthem.
But they are in the NFL, and they will be tonight for the Dallas Cowboys.
They are for the last 10 years. Prior to that, they weren't on the field until.
But you understand how it looks to
yes,
me and a whole bunch of other
I understand.
People.
But let me ask you this. This is the way I think this is what happened. They decided, would you have felt better if they would have walked out and sat on the bench during the national anthem?
I would have felt better that not the entire team was not out in the field. If there
what if the entire team sat?
No, I'm saying the entire team come out and sit on the bench for the anthem. Or the entire team come out and kneel for the anthem.
I think I would have probably felt a little better because at least they were out there. But that's
really?
Nitpicking. I mean, the point is the whole organization said, hey, screw you, Tennessee. Even though the state's by far a Republican state that voted 2-for-1 for Trump.
I don't think they said that, though. Like,
no, I don't either.
Glenn, I appreciate your call.
I think what they were saying was that we can't decide. They're part of us want to sit, part of us want to kneel, part of us want to stand, part of it. So rather than have all of these different opinions, we're just going to stay in here. And we can't decide on one way, the right way to do it, or, you know, get enough opinions one way or the other. So rather than have it all hodgepodge, we're just going to stay inside. I would have, if I was a GM, I would have preferred that.
As opposed to half the team kneeling and half the team not kneeling.
And get out there and you got guys sitting and somebody standing. And
well, it's like the Steelers. Mike Tomlin had them stay in the locker room. And then Big Ben puts a post on his website about how he didn't feel good about that and how much he thought about it and couldn't sleep and how he wanted to be out on the field. And Big Ben's thing is we did it so that it wouldn't divide the team.
Right.
So now I'm going to write an essay on why I disagree with that. I'm the star quarterback, and now I'm coming out going against what the team said. That's the whole thing the Steelers wanted to avoid.
Exactly.
Here's the thing people forget. Okay, and we told this story, and this is by no means what Bryce Drew, the Vanderbilt basketball coach, thinks, because I don't know what he thinks about this. But we were sitting at SEC Basketball Media Days last year because they had moved it to Nashville from Charlotte because of the HB2 bill. And Vanderbilt walked into Bridgestone Arena, and we were the only station on Radio Row. And we're sitting there, and they walked in, and I turned to you and I said, Bryce Drew, I have no idea what side of the fence he's on the HB2 bill. I'm not even sure he cares. He may not care. I don't care about the HB2 bill. Don't care one way or the other. But I bet you when they said, hey, we're going to move the SEC Media Days to Nashville, so now you don't have to fly to Charlotte and back, I bet you he liked it and thought, hey, we can practice today and don't have to alter chimes. Some of these coaches and players don't care about this. Like, I'm not trying to be callous or rude, but they don't care. They want to win the ball game. To be completely frank with you, and I know our country has issues and we need to talk about them, I don't care. You want to go in the locker room? You want to kneel? You want to stand? Fine. Be my guest. You know what I do care about? The Titans winning games. You know what else I care about? The locker room being everybody together, everybody unified. This, like, the Jesse James Decker thing drives me up a wall today. Because what all that can do is divide the team. And I know you don't make too much of it, but I do. And that's because, to me, this is all about not dividing the football team.
Well, I think that was the ultimate. That was the reason for the decision, in my opinion, was that they couldn't get everybody on the same page. So rather than risk having, you know, all kinds of different scenarios on the sideline, which especially knowing Mike and him, you know,
Mike loves
helmet under the left. Oh yeah. I mean, he thought rather than having some guys kneel and say, we're not doing that. We're just, you know, we'll stay in here.
And that takes me back to the Jesse James Decker thing. You know, Eric Decker's wife comes out and says, you know, I guess somebody on Instagram said, your husband is a follower. I lost a lot of respect for him. Very disappointed in the Titans. And Jesse James Decker replied and said, my husband was not made aware it was time to go out for the game. Unfortunately, a decision was made for him without him knowing. And I know you don't care too much about this, but that bothers me only because that is something that could divide the team. That could it brings attention to, well, Decker apparently didn't agree with it. As a team, we're together. We're staying in.
Would it bother you more if your quarterback did that?
Drive me nuts if Ben Roethlisberger did that.
Oh, there you go.
Because in my mind, it's just plain stupid to come out and say, we don't want to divide the team. So let me tell you why my thought process is against everybody else's. Like, I'm all about winning. I don't care about and the Jesse James Decker thing, just it drives me up a wall. And you know what the difference between Ben and Jesse and Decker is? The Pittsburgh Steelers cannot go on without Ben Roethlisberger.
All right.
You can go on without Eric Decker. Titans can go on without Eric Decker. Now, they'll be a worse team without Eric Decker, but they'll be fine. Ben Roethlisberger leaves the Steelers, that's a whole different story. And I don't know if Jesse James Decker understands this because I'm sure she's too busy with her reality TV show, but Eric's not good enough for him to be a distraction. And if you come out and say things like this, you're now a distraction. And the only way the team can eliminate the distraction is to get rid of him. Now, I'm not saying the Titans are going to get rid of him, but I guarantee you John Robinson and Mike Mularkey, they don't like this. Mike in his press conference was asked about it, and he said, oh, you know, who's TMZ? What's that? I don't know. Mike knows exactly who TMZ is. He's deflecting the whole time. And honestly, and I love Mike, and I think he's a good coach, he's not very good at it. It's extremely transparent. When he does something like that, I guarantee you Mike and John Robinson are not happy about this. And I know you wouldn't be happy if you were the GM.
I don't. I mean, to be honest, again, what some lady supposedly said on TMZ is meaningless to
me. She said it on Instagram, so it's the same as saying it anywhere.
Well, maybe.
Okay, none of that. What's that next to her name right there?
None of that makes any difference to me.
What is that right there next to her name?
I'm
pointing right to it.
Oh, that's the infamous blue check?
It's a blue check. And what's a blue check mean?
So that means it's for sure the truth.
It means it's from her. It means she said it. And I do know this. I guarantee you, if you were the GM, how would you do this? Would you talk to Decker about it and say, dude, your wife cannot be saying things like that?
I don't think you'd have to. I mean, I'm sure he's going home saying, hey, let me tell you something now. You like it here? You like me as a pro football player? You better put that junk down.
And if you need any help, call Brent Grimes with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Or else I will, be working for you. So,
if you don't like it, call Brent Grimes of the Tampa Bay Bucks. He knows because he's not in Miami because of his wife popping off.
See how his wife got it all fixed up.
Who are some other players like that? I'm sure there's a handful of them. The truth is, if you're not good and you come out and do something like that, the team can only handle it in certain ways. The team can't tell Jesse James Decker to not speak her mind. They can tell Eric, though, that he's not a part of the team. Because what I worry about is, what if somebody that's really for the cause, and I don't know who's for the cause and who's not on the Titans, but what if they walk in the locker room and say, dude, I thought we were in this together. We voted as a team. You knew this, and now you're going home, and you're telling your wife lies, and now your wife is putting out lies about the team. That could cause a problem inside the locker room. And you promised me when they signed this circus act in the reality show,
you've gone from TMZ to the locker room. Settle down. It'll be okay.
I promise you. Is this not something
I
in the locker room?
I promise you it'll be okay.
No, hold on. Is this not something in the locker room where a decision for the team was made? Is that not a locker room thing?
On TMZ, according to a wife.
This isn't on TMZ. This is on Instagram. She said it.
Okay.
It would be the same thing as if I tweeted that out. It's the same. It came from her.
And it would have the same effect. Zero. There's no effect. It doesn't mean a thing. Now, if it gets back to John and it gets back to Mike and they don't like it, I mean, you know what? I bet she hadn't even talked to her husband when she sent that out. She probably doesn't even know what went on with it.
You don't think she's talked to her husband since the game and whenever she sent that out this afternoon?
When did she send that out?
This afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked.
You don't think they talked about it?
I'd be, you know what? I mean, the only one that's really talking about it is you. I mean, I don't.
The only one that's talking about it is me. Yes. The New York Post is talking about it. Fox News is talking about it.
TMZ
is talking about it. I mean, do you not count Fox News as an actual news outlet? Do you not count the New York Post as an actual news outlet?
Yeah.
The Tennessean has an article about it.
All right.
Everybody's talking about it. So don't say, because you don't read, don't come out to me and say, because you don't know how to work the meat, you don't know, you know, you watch CNN. Unless it's on the TV for you, you don't know about it. But I'm telling you, everybody across the country is going to read this article. Because Jesse James Decker decided to come out and say something about what went on in the locker room, which you promised me would not happen when they signed him. You promised me this wouldn't happen. And now it's happened.
This reminds me when my boys. Dad, you promised. Dad, you promised.
You did promise, Dad.
That. Dad, you promised that wouldn't happen. Oh, did it happen? I'm sorry, son.
You did promise. And now I'm upset. He promised, and now he. You know what that makes you?
Non-promiser.
I was going to say. Not Father of the Year.
Oh.
That's what it makes you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We have not gotten into the Vols and the horrific performance they had on Saturday. We have not gotten into Vandy and the horrific performance they had Saturday. We'll do that next. Jared and the GM live from Fitness 1440 for their one-year anniversary party. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back live out at Fitness 1440, where they are celebrating their one-year anniversary. It is a humongous 24-hour all-access gym with an indoor pool, a sauna, an indoor basketball court. They got a free kids care area. And today, for $14.40 total, that's it, $14.40, you walk in, pay $14.40, and walk out with a membership. And, of course, Pete Weber is a member, the voice of the Nashville Predators. Floyd, we have not talked about the debacle that was Vol football on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
Let me just start off. My day on Saturday, I do the college football tailgate from 10 to noon with Julian out at Mafiosos in Franklin.
Right.
And then usually I try to find like a good time to take a little bit of a break. And I looked at the slate of games and I figured, you know what, after the show's over, I'll go work out, go to lunch, etc. And then I'll get dialed in for when Vandy and Bama play at 3:30 because I thought that was going to be a better game. And then I'll watch the night games. Well, then I find myself having to watch the Vols game because the Vols were playing so poorly, and it hit me. Butch Jones has lost this football team. He's lost them. They've checked out. They're not listening to their coach, and apparently it's getting even worse with Butch, too. It seems like not only has the team, has Butch lost the team, it sounds like he's starting to lose his mind. Did you hear what happened at his press conference?
No.
Shy Tuttle did not play with an undisclosed injury. And this is what Butch was asked, and this is a little bit long, but as I want to point out, I think Butch Jones is starting to lose it.
Was Shy Tuttle's injury related to a teammate causing him to be injured?
Well, I'll tell you this. Football is an emotional game. It's a competitive game. The injury was caused not by a teammate. He landed on a helmet, and that's the truth. And I think we have to understand, what do we want out of our media? It's this place with the drama. And again, these are kids, and I think we all have children, and we're all adults. And it's, are we focused on Tennessee football from a recruiting standpoint, from all the positive things we've done, from all the positive things this football program brings to the community, this great fan base? Are we in the reality world of TV? And I think all of us as human beings have to self-check ourselves. And you may not like that answer, but I'm a father. I have three boys. And I think we sometimes got to put ourselves in the role of a parent as well. And I understand we all have jobs to do. My expectation as a head football coach, I'm the caretaker of Tennessee football. I'm here to develop and grow a football program, recruit the best possible student athletes to represent the University of Tennessee, and win football games and graduate our players. That's my responsibility. I take that very seriously. But also, I love our kids, and I'm going to protect our players, and I'm going to protect our program. And sometimes the negativity is overwhelming. And if everyone is Vol fans, How do we let our opponents use this in the recruiting process with fake news? And sometimes, again, we have to check ourselves. What are we here for? What's our values and principles that guide our life every single day? And I appreciate everyone in this room. You guys have a job to do, and I'm respectful of that. And I'm friends with a lot of you guys in the room, and I appreciate it. But also, there comes a certain time where enough is enough. So thank you. You guys have a great day. I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. Go Vols.
Losing his mind. What the hell was that?
I don't know. He has a knack for doing that anyway.
But he's never done that before.
Well, he starts off on one. He'll start off on, talking about football, and then we go to character, and then we go to practice habits, and then we go to recruiting, and then we go, you know, it just, whatever pops in his mind, it just comes out. No filter. But
that not seem more desperate than we're used to hearing from Butch? I mean, it sounded bad. I mean, hey, if you wanted to say, and I don't believe that he fell on a helmet and hit his head and that's why he didn't play, although it could have happened. I don't believe it, but it could have. Let's say that did happen. Why don't you just say it and then stop? Why are we getting into fake news? Why are we getting into, you know, what's best in recruiting for the University of Tennessee? And why are we getting into, what are you doing? I mean, I think he's losing his mind. I think I know there are three things that are going to happen in the SEC. Three things. I know we're four games into the season. Three things that I can say definitively will happen in the SEC. Are you ready for these three things?
Okay.
Number one, Alabama's going to win the league, and it's not even going to be close. Fair?
Probably.
Number two, Georgia is going to win the East.
Probably.
Number three, Butch Jones is going to get fired. Those are the three things that I feel definitively certain about. There's a lot of things. We got a lot of football left to play. Who's going to be the second best team in the West? I have no idea. Who's going to be the second best team in the East? I don't know. Is Florida going to win another ball game? Not sure. They should be 0-3. Is Vandy for real? Like, are they actually going to compete, or are they really just, you know, they beat Kansas State and that's it? Don't know. But what I do know, Alabama's going to win the West and win the SEC. Georgia's going to win the East, and Butch Jones is getting fired. Those three things are all going to happen. And I think the pressure has finally gotten to Butch to the point where he can't cliche his way out of it.
Well, I mean, there's no doubt he's under a ton of pressure. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt about that. He's trying to keep it, keep everything above water. And,
I mean, I'm friends with some of you guys in the room. And you.
And I worry about the fact that, I mean, the way they played this weekend certainly doesn't help your resume. You did win. But, you know, we said that after Georgia Tech, and UMass is certainly not Georgia Tech. So, I don't know. I mean, you know he's under a ton of pressure. And this next 2 weeks, probably the biggest two games of his life.
I wouldn't even say the next two. I would just say this, Georgia.
Yeah, I heard this. But, I mean, certainly, don't they have Florida right after that?
No, they
already played Florida.
Yeah, they already screwed that one up.
Yeah.
I think it's South Carolina after Georgia.
Is that it? South Carolina?
South Carolina. I think it's South Carolina, then Bama.
Okay. So, I mean, it's going to be really, really hard for them to do what they need. But you know what? If they jump out and win a couple games in a row, and especially if one of them's Georgia, everybody would be excited.
They're not going to do that. They almost lost to UMass. UMass is one of the worst teams in college football. Like, college football, the end. They're terrible.
UMass is awful.
So bad. I mean, they're not gonna. And the only reason I think Tennessee won that game was because UMass's quarterback got hurt, and they put in a quarterback that can't throw. So I take nothing of positive away from the Vol game. I don't think the Vols are gonna beat Georgia. I wonder if they're gonna beat South Carolina. I know they're not gonna beat Bama. That's when they could make a change. It would not surprise me if they lose those three. If they lose Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, that he's gone after that Alabama game. The way things are going right now, where he's, you know, rambling on with the local media and freaking out about fake news.
Well, I mean, I don't – it's going to be hard. I mean, he's headed uphill. There's no doubt about it. And he knows it. And he's trying I mean, I've been around guys that have been, or I've been part of, you know, a regime that's going through this, and I'm going to tell you what now. It is stressful. I mean, it is hard. You're trying to do everything right, and you have a heck of a time doing it. So it's, I'm not sure he'll ever get the response that he wants from each one of these players, coaches, teams, whatever.
Media.
And yeah, anybody. And if he goes out and you know, they struggle over the next couple of weeks, I mean, it's going to be hard for him.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. It's Jared and the GM live from Fitness 1440 on ESPN 1025 today. Jared and the GM live out of Fitness 1440, once again celebrating their one-year anniversary. That party is today. They got all kinds of food out here for the big party, and if you stop by Fitness 1440 today, $14.40, that's it. 1440 will get you a membership. They've got a 24-hour access. They've got an indoor pool, indoor basketball courts, a sauna, free kids care, and so much more, Floyd. And I want to thank them for having us out here, because we've had a blast out here. And I might have to sign me up for a membership at some point or something, because it is definitely, it's been a blast out here today.
They really have a nice facility, and they take care of it. And, I mean, it is packed now. I mean, there are so many people here signing up. I think everybody understands this is opportunity of a lifetime. Go get it.
Well, they hear it on Jared and the GM, and they roll in here.
There
and they
you
just
go.
Say they got to get. So, we'll get to the calls on Butch in literally 1 second or so. But first, thoughts on Vandy against Bama.
You know, I wish I could say I was shocked, but I don't think I was.
You weren't shocked by 59 to nothing?
Yeah. I'm not sure the score meant anything, you know. It was physically, you're talking about everything about what Alabama is and what Vandy is 59 to nothing, you know, when it comes to football. And Alabama makes giant investments and spends a lot of time and spends a lot of money and to get the program to where they can do those things. And Vandy doesn't – that's not Vandy's cup of tea. And so I think that's what you get. Now, that being said, I still think Vandy's going to have a good year, and they're going to, you know, make it to a bowl, and they're going to do all that kind of stuff. But they don't want to play many teams like Alabama.
When they got a delay of the game on the first play of the game, I knew they were in trouble. I was like, they have gotten so they turtled so much from the idea of being on CBS with Alabama that it totally screwed them up. Totally screwed them up. Now, they never would beat Alabama, but they're not 59 points worse than Alabama either. Let's go to the phones on Butch. Adam is going to be up next on Butch Jones. Thank you for calling. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. You know, it's a really interesting week in football. Some of it's not really even worth commenting on. But what to watch for Saturday, you know, for Tennessee. It's a huge game. It is year five, you know, so trying to step back away from it all and maybe look at it from 10,000 feet. It's not like this is year two or year three, and that almost calms it down for this one Tennessee fan, because the state of the program is so much better than what it was under Dooley. Do we want to be where we are, and is that the barometer for winning? No. But we have improved, and we want to continue to improve. You know, the thing about Butch is that I would love to have Butch coordinator and keep him around. You know, that's probably out of the realm of possibilities. But
you want him to be the GM of the football team and not the coach.
And not the head coach. If we can keep him around and keep his recruiting around, he's a great recruiter. But we
yeah, it
doesn't
work like that, Adam. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I get it. It's not going to work like that. But at the same time, like,
Adam, I appreciate the call. That is literally not possible. I mean, I felt that way about. That's how I feel about Charlie Strong and Bobby Petrino at my school. I'd love to have Charlie Strong go recruit the players at Louisville, so we can get all the Teddy Bridgewaters and Devontae Parkers and Calvin Pryors and all those players, and let Bobby Petrino, who's a better coach, coach him. But Floyd, as someone who's coached in college football, you know as well as I do that does not work.
It'd be one of a first time out. I mean, give it a whirl, I guess.
Butch, would you like to be recruiting head coach? And we'll go get a real head coach.
He can recruit.
Yeah, but that doesn't work like that. And if you can recruit and don't win, then what's the point of recruiting anyways? That's the other way I would say about it. Forrest is up next on Butch Jones. Thank you for calling. What's up, Forrest?
How's it going, guys? Sounds like to me Butch Jones needs to lay out the Grandpa Jones Mountain Dew before he goes in for those pressers. That was just god awful. I was waiting for him to break out with, I'm a man. If you want to come after somebody, come after me. I'm a UT fan. I'm done. I think he needs to go. I mean, enough is enough. We have the players. We should be able to be winning games. That Florida was a debacle. I mean, there's no way that they should be playing this bad with the quality of players that he's got on that team. That's all I got. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way that they should be in a ball game with UMass in the fourth quarter with the quality of players they have.
Yeah, no, there's no comparison. And like we said, the part that's really scary is UMass lost their quarterback. Right. I mean, if they hadn't lost a quarterback, who knows?
Well, and I literally said before, I think maybe the second to last UMass drive, I said, if UMass scores a touchdown, they're going to win the football game. And the idea of UMass winning the football game was so beyond me. It was like so out of the realm of my possibility that now I see UMass get the ball, and I think if they score a touchdown, they're going to win.
And they end up, I mean,
they suck. UMass is awful.
Bottom 10, like, every week.
I mean, they are horrible. And I just think that the team has quit on him. And if that's the case, they'll lose the next 3 weeks. And then if they lose the next 3 weeks and it feels like the team has quit on the coach and they lose to Georgia, South Carolina, and Alabama, at that point, is it worth it then to make the change? If you're Tennessee,
I mean, in my opinion, as soon as you can say that the team has quit on him, time to make the move.
Then it's time to make the move now.
I can't say that.
I can't either. I can't say that it's time to make the move now, but I can say that they've quit on him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I can't say they've quit on him. Now, maybe they have, and I just wasn't looking for it. You know, whatever the case may be. I mean, I don't see that yet. But, I mean, this weekend would be a good indicator.
By the way, another coach I want to fire, who I wouldn't actually fire, but, I mean, just if there's any coach that is deserving of a firing, it's this coach, Mark Stoops. 2 touchdowns to Florida to let them back to let them win. 2 touchdowns where you had 10 men on the field and didn't cover the wide receiver.
Nobody covering the receiver. Incredible. I mean, one time – I've seen it happen one time. Never, ever do you see it happen twice. Same formation to the same team and lose and have that cost you a game. Oh, it's sad.
What was great was after the game, Mark Stoops said, that's on me. No, duh, it's on you. You had 10 minutes on the field. I mean, 10 men on the field. Of course it's on you. So he just coached.
And Florida, what 3-0?
They should be 0-3, and they're 2-1.
2-1.
They got killed by Michigan, but that's what happens when you get to play Butch and Mark Stoops. I'm not convinced there's one good coach in the SEC East right now.
Why would you say that?
Who's a good coach in the East?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, a good head coach. Now, I know you love Will Muschamp, and you love Kirby.
Yeah.
But realize that most people do not consider them to be good coaches.
That really worries me.
That's it for us. Hey, special thanks to Fitness 1440 for having us out today, celebrating their one-year anniversary. Come check them out. Awesome place. Preds Insiders with Ryan Porth, Willie Donick, and Kara Hammer is coming up next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.